I was very excited to go to Eretz Yisrael. You can't complain about going to Eretz Yisrael or getting really, it's a free trip to go there, even if I knew that I wasn't going to have that much time while I was there. That's the honest truth. I knew that was going to be. But I'll tell you that, especially for those who knew me beforehand and knew what I was saying, I wasn't joking around about it. It was mainly because of Uri's Pizza. Mostly because of Uri's Pizza. Now, maybe you know that Uri's Pizza makes the greatest sauce for their pizza in the world. Perhaps you know that, and that it hasn't been duplicated, and no matter what you do, there's no way to be able to get that sauce back. It's possible that you know that, but that's not the reason why I wanted to go there. See, the real reason why I wanted to go is because Uri's makes these caramel sufganiyot. Unbelievable caramel sufganiyot. They are not even close to any caramel sufganiyot. Because maybe you've had a donut before. It's possible that you've eaten a donut before and that maybe you think you've had a really good one. It's very possible you think you've had a good one. I have absolutely no idea. But if you've ever had a sufganiyot from Uri's, if you've ever had that caramel sufganiyot from Uri's during that time, and you don't think it's the greatest food of all time, if you don't think that it's honestly the greatest donut that's ever been made, bar none, then there's three choices, okay? Here's the three choices. Either number one, you're lying, and you never really had one. That's the most likely, that you're just saying that you did and you never really had one. Or number two, you're not human or you have no taste buds. I'm putting those in the same category. It's one of those two. Or number three, you're lying again. I'm just telling you, it's so likely that you're lying that's like that. So here's the thing about Uri Sufganiyot. They only make them in Chodesh Kislev. That's it. From Rosh Chodesh Kislev until the end of Hanukkah. There is no other time when they make the sufganiyot. You can go there any other time of the year. You could say to them, I want a sufganiyot. And they'll tell you, I'm sorry, we don't have them. They're not available. They won't even say they're sorry, they're Israeli. But they'll say that we don't have them and there's nothing you can do. So the honest truth is that I made this trip with that in mind. And when I realized that I was leaving on Beis Kislev, I was the happiest person in the world. Because I said, the first thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to get in right there and I'm going to get a sufganiyot. And that was that. See, last year, I couldn't do this. My daughter's bas mitzvah fell out during Thanksgiving vacation. And because we wanted to have a little bit of a sudas mitzvah during that time, and technically, it's a bas mitzvah, I don't know if it's a sudas mitzvah, but we wanted to make some type of a suda during that time. So I wasn't able to go during Chodesh Kislev, and that really threw me off my game. It was absolutely terrible. But this time, I was unbelievably excited. Unbelievably excited. It was all I was talking about beforehand. It was all I was thinking about. It was impossible for me to write up Shiram on the plane on the way there, because all I was writing was caramel sufganiyot. It was over and over and over again. There was literally almost nothing else then. So I got in on Tuesday. I got in on Tuesday at around 3 o'clock, and I didn't have to be anywhere. By the time I got to Yerushalayim, it was maybe 5 o'clock, and I didn't have to be anywhere until about 8 o'clock at night. So I had time. Checked into the hotel, right? And in between checking to my hotel and then going to the first yeshiva where I had to speak at, right? I walked in to Uri's Pizza. Okay, I went and I parked legally. I paid for my parking, right? And I went in and I went to go. That's rare, you should know. But I went in and I saw a sign. As soon as I walked in, due to the ingredients not being ready yet, not available. Now, my assumption is either that's cocaine and that Israel has looser ideas of what you can do with that thing, or it's some type of heroin. I don't know. But honestly, I don't know what kind of ingredients it possibly could be. But because the ingredients weren't ready yet, so therefore it's not going to be available until Sunday of the next week. Yes, that was 2 days ago, Sunday, right, of next week. So I said, Baruch Hashem, I made my trip so that I'm not leaving until Monday morning after I'm speaking at OJ. So I figured out I can do it. I can do this. Now, granted, most of Sunday I was going to be out of Yerushalayim, but there was one time I had to speak at a kotel at 6 o'clock. So I figured it's not that big of a deal. I'll end at Yishrei Lev. I'll be able to finish off at a certain time at like 4:15. I'll be able to get there. I'll be able to go to Uri's and then go to HaKotel right afterward. Rav Terrigan calls me up from HaKotel, asks me if I can give another shir for the first year guys at HaKotel. Meaning I would give two different shir, one for the first year guys, one for the second year guys. And I took that into account and I said, will I still be able to make it to Uri's? When I realized that I still would be able to make it to Uri's in time, I said, okay, I can do it. There's no problem. I didn't tell Rav Terrigan that. Why should he know? But I said, there's no problem. I should be able to do it. And there's no problem whatsoever. So I was perfectly fine. Now, when I was there on Tuesday, I went to the guy behind the counter and I said, is this true? Because I wasn't sure if my Hebrew was correct because I don't know. But he confirmed my worst fears. It was 100% true. Listen. It didn't make a difference. I was still going to make it. Everything was going to be okay. The whole week went by, and I had a couple rugelach and donuts from other places. Okay? I did. I did eat some from other places. From Nechama. Nechama Bakery is tremendous, right? Some random place in Geula. That was not tremendous, right? Some other place in the old city. Terrible. Absolutely terrible. But you know what? In the end, all I could think of was, don't worry. Uri Sufganiyot are coming on Sunday. Uri Sufganiyot are coming on Sunday. My wife called me up. She said, how were the Sufganiyot? I said, I didn't get one. Thanks for rubbing it in. Right? I appreciate that. But don't worry. I'm going to get it on Sunday. It's going to work out well. Okay. So that was that. I end up going. I have 15 minutes to spare. By the time I got to Jerusalem, there's traffic on the one. I dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know how much I want this Sufganiyot, and I'm not going to be able to make it there if I don't go before HaKotel. If I don't go before HaKotel, I'm not going to have time, because I was going from HaKotel straight out to, I don't remember, Torah Shraga, right? So I wasn't going to make it. I said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is the only way it's going to happen. Miraculously, Kriyas Yam Suf happened in the middle of Kvish Echad. If anybody's been on Kvish Echad, you know how much, it's a bigger miracle than Kriyas Yam Suf, much bigger. Mamash and Nez Galoy, right? And I was able to make it. I ended up getting there. I was so happy. I came in. I was ready to buy 25 Sufganiyot, ready right then. And I walked in, literally drooling, excited, happy, everything, right? Now stop. I wish I could tell you, that I sat there and I looked at myself and I said, I am a sick human being. That this is literally, I didn't feel that way about the Kotel, right? I didn't feel that way about sitting down for Shabbos in the Old City, all right? I didn't feel that way about that. I didn't feel that way about going to Eretz Yisrael in the first place. I only feel this way about Uri Sufganiyot. So what I should have done at that moment is said to myself, right, what is wrong with me? What is wrong with me? Why is my Yetzer Hara so terrible that I'm ready? I'm so into it. This is the only thing I can think of all week long. I can't even think of my family anymore. All I can think of is Uri Sufganiyot. What I should have done at that point is said, no, I'm not going to do this. I should have turned around, ran out, ran to my car, and ran to go to the Old City. That's what I should have done. That's what I should have done right at that moment. Unfortunately, I'm obviously Gashmias oriented, right? And I could not stop myself from doing that, and I didn't do it. I walked in, and a Kaddish Baruch Hu did it for me. They had another sign up. There are no Sufganiyot available until Wednesday. No Sufganiyot ready until Wednesday. So then I went in, and I went up to the guy behind the counter, and I said, say it ain't so, Joe. Just say it ain't so. It can't be. The guy spoke a perfect English and said back to me, he said, I'm afraid it is, kiddo. Okay, he didn't speak a perfect English. I said, please. It can't be. I said, you have to make me a Sufganiyah. You have to. And he sat there and he said, I can't. We don't have the ingredient. I said, where's the ingredient? I'll get it for you. I don't care where it is. Just tell me. I have a car. I'll ditch HaKotel. I have no problem with that. I'm not getting any guys from there anyway. I'll go right now, right? I'll go wherever you need me to go. I will go get it. He said, no, it's impossible. The things aren't, they're not here. They're not here in this, in whatever. So I said, okay, if I give you my address, will you ship me the donuts? Right? Will you send them to me? I said, I'll give you my address right now. I will pay for everything right now. I'll pay for the shipping. I'll pay for everything. Just send me 30 donuts. Right? If you do that, will you be able to do that for me? He said, we've never done that before. I'm like, I don't care that you've never done it before. I can do it right now. Will you do it for me? He said, no, I can't do it. So I begged him for clemency. I begged him for anything, that anything I could get. I said, please, please, please. But no, nothing. So I drowned myself in my sorrows by eating two slices of pizza with a lot of sauce. That's all I could do. I mean, at that time, there was nothing else I could do. So that's a true story. I don't think I even exaggerated a bit of it. Honest truth is, I think that is the entire truth, and that is exactly how I was feeling during the entire week. Now, granted, my parents are there, and they're already being sent over to go to Uri's, but now I already have a different thing in my mind. I'm sitting there after I was left, and I went straight to Yeshivat HaKotel. It's a mashal. It really is a mashal. It's a story for every single one of us. Everyone here has an Uri Sufganiyah in their lives. There's something that's there that you just can't get over. And there are times where you'll have siyata d'shmaya to the point where a Kaddish Baruch will take care of it for you. There are times where those things will be taken care of and you won't have to worry about it. You didn't do anything and somehow Kaddish Baruch will make sure that that doesn't happen for you. For the lowest fringe of our frum society, perhaps that would be referring to some type of chilul Shabbos. The chilul Shabbos that the person cannot get over. Whether it's coming to texting on Shabbos, which has become sort of popular by some high school kids, or whether it's even just the desire to eat something that's not kosher, to bring it into more of a food form or something like that. Maybe it's arayas. Maybe it's arayas in some way, shape, or form. You can't get yourself over it. And all you're thinking of is how you're going to do that avera or that taiva again. You can't get over it. That's for the lowest fringe. For a higher level, maybe it's sleeping in a little bit longer than you normally would. That it's just a taiva to sleep further. There's no reason for me to do it. I mean, I know that you know that your lives are going to be revolved around you getting up at some point. And I have found it in my experience, it's 100% true. The guys who never get up for chakras are the guys who have jobs that start at 6 o'clock in the morning. That happens every single time. And it's possible, it's very possible, that that's the sufganiya. Sleeping a little bit late is, for other people, that's going to be, that's the sufganiya. Not wearing tefillin, not saying kriya shma bismano, that would be considered a sufganiya. And some people are not able to do it whatsoever. For the people that are above that, it's the people that they just don't want to learn too much. They're afraid of burning themselves out. That if I learn too much, if I do a little bit more benas darim than I'm used to, if I start my night seder before 9 o'clock, if I start it at 8:45, even when I have the time, that's a bit too much for me. I don't know. I don't want to burn myself out. The extra 15 minutes, you never know what it's going to do for a person. See, the Yetzer Hara is brilliant, brilliant, and he creates a sufganiya out of anything in life. Anything, and it really could be absolutely anything. And you know what it is. You know what your Uri Sufganiya is for yourself. You know what it is for yourself. You know what you can't get over. Where you have no ability, so to speak, to be able to take care of yourself on. And our job is to be able to work on that. You've worked very hard in your lives. Everybody here. None of you is in a state of downward spiraling. Nobody here is in a state of downward spiraling. You might be coughing and sputtering a little bit, maybe remaining at the status quo line, right, where you're just sitting right there and you want to grow and you just don't know what to do, right? You might be there. It's possible you're right there. But the truth is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you siyata deshmaya every single day to make the right decisions. He's putting certain things in your path to be able to make sure that it's done in the right way. The way that I've explained it to when I speak to seniors in high school, it's, have you ever walked out of your house and there was a lady that maybe was dressed a little bit improper who just turns the corner when you leave your house and you look there and you're just like, oh, I'm sure that lady was a good-looking lady. You're never going to see that lady ever again. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mazmin it that the moment you walked out of your house, you missed her completely. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away the Yetzer Hara from you so that you had no ability to give in to it. When you stop at a red light and you look at the car that's to your right or to your left, which is a natural reaction of everybody who's human, there are reasons why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mazmin it that there are men in the cars or women who are dressed properly or sometimes a woman that's dressed improperly. That's also part of the cheshbon. Sometimes we're zocha for the Yetzer Hara to be destroyed for Uri Sufganiyot to not be there. So you won't have to give in to that taiva. And sometimes, unfortunately, it's right there in front of us and there's nothing we can do. We have to sit there and we have to push ourselves and literally hold ourselves back from doing what we know is the wrong thing to do. It's rule number one when dealing with so many things in life that you can't just allow yourself to give in and to allow yourself to be there. So here's our job. We have a carousel of caramel donuts that are going all the way around. Each one of them in certain ways. You've been able to knock down some of them, and some of them are just there and you're not able to, you just can't take care of it yet. So come up with a plan. You have a plan. And in this plan, you have to think to yourself, what are the things that I do want to take care of and the things that I don't want to take care of? See, for a lot of you, Cholov Stam is not a question. It's just, it's mutter to me. I mean, what's the difference? I mean, there's never a point where I'm ever going to aser for myself eating an Entenmann's donut or going to Dunkin' Donuts or anything like that. For some of you, that is already part of your being. What I'm saying is the following. In your carousel of taivas, Cholov Stam should be there. You may not want to work on it now. That might be something that you want to work on later on in life. But it's there. And don't think that it's not something you can fix or take care of or even make better. There's no reason for you to say to yourselves, I don't want to ever, you know what? I'm never going to eat cake ever again. I'm never going to eat a cookie ever again. I'm never going to have those snacks ever again. You can have those snacks. You can work on it. You can just, there should be a point where you say, you know what? I don't want this anymore. Maybe it's not now. Maybe it's not in 5 years. Maybe it's not 10 years. I'm not ready for everything yet. I'm 100 years old. There's no way. I'm not ready to be able to move to the next level just yet when it comes to certain things. But it should be there. It should be on that carousel. And as it goes around every year, you should say to yourself, am I ready for this yet? Is this something that I'm ready for? Or can I push it off? Should I push it off to the next year in order to work on my Avodas Hashem to make it even better? So here's the thing. People are so into this. If you keep Judaism and you're an Orthodox Jew, then all you're doing is suppressing yourself and you're just losing all of the good things in life and you're not able to do everything that you want to do. If that's the way you feel, then you're right. You're not ready for it yet. You're not ready. So for that person should not be working on not playing Monopoly on Shabbos. Is there a shiloh of using play money on Shabbos itself? That's not his level. He's not ready for that yet. That guy has to build himself up. So the point comes where it's just not a shiloh. Why would I want to play Monopoly when I could learn something on Shabbos? Why would I want to go ahead and do that if I could do something else which is more productive? That's the level you have to get yourself to. So eventually you can realize, here's why I'm learning, here's why I'm davening. So that it's not a challenge to get up in the morning or a challenge to come to Seder on time. It's, this is the greatest opportunity of my life. This is exactly what I want to do. See, I say it in jest, but I really do mean it. I think in myself that really was it. That I was sitting there saying, I can't wait to eat a caramel sufganiyah. You should feel that way about your learning. You should feel that way about your davening. And it shouldn't be as if you're giving up something in order to get there. You have to build yourself up slowly to the point comes where that is the sukkaniyah. You are so happy to sit in Seder. And maybe when you get into the work world, maybe it's going to seem a lot easier to you. Because you're going to see what the quote-unquote real world is all about. You're going to say that 1 hour a day that I get to learn, that 45 minutes that I get to daven, those are the greatest hours of my life. Those are the ones that I'm looking forward to. Those are the most, that they are the greatest hours. And the work hours are just to allow me to be able to learn with tranquility, with peace, knowing that I've gotten my parnasa taken care of. See, you have to be able to get it to that way, because otherwise you're just fighting an uphill battle. You're going to keep challenging yourself and you're not going to know what to do with yourself. Sit there and say to yourself, what do I need to do to make this enjoyable? What do I need to do to make this the greatest thing that it possibly could be? And if you've been to Eretz Yisrael, it's an amazing difference speaking to guys that are in yeshiva there versus while somebody is an American. Now, granted, I'm using this in a very, you know, in the colored glasses type of form because I don't speak to a lot of people, those that go to maybe Landers in New York and YU and here, obviously. So I don't speak to a lot of people that have come back to America. I don't have too many Talmidim that have gone to Neri Yisrael or that have gone to bigger yeshivas that are on the East Coast. You know, there hasn't been. But there's a big difference speaking to some of the guys from the high school here, going into Eretz Yisrael and then coming back. And here's the difference. The guys that are there seem like they want to grow. And you can put that on the yeshiva, you can put that on Avira to Eretz Yisrael, that's machakim, that's definitely true, but the growth factor is there. You can see it in them, you can see them with that desire, that drive, that want to go even further. There is no reason for that to have stopped while you're here. There's no reason. You can still do it. You just have to grow in your own way. Figure out what you can do. Work on something and then build it up little by little. And I'm telling you, although I told my parents to bring back an Arisuf Ganiyah, I'm making this for you right now. I made a neder when I was writing this up on the plane home. I am not going to eat it. I want my parents to bring it back for me. I'm going to have them bring it into my house and then I'm going to give it to my wife. She's pregnant. She deserves it. I'm going to say, I'm not going to eat it. Because now once you realize, I don't need this. And I'm not saying I'm never going to eat an Ari Sufgani ever again. I hope that I eventually get to that level. But I'm not on that level just yet. I'm not there. I'm just saying, to break my taiva, to make it feel like I should be worrying about something else, I should be doing something different, I made that neder, and that neder holds true. That neder holds true. That's what I'm going to do right now. That's how I'm going to have it. So think about it. Everybody here, think of something. Think of your donut. Think of your little thing that you can work on. Something that you could do even now. And it's small, not big. You tell me that you're not going to speak Lashon Hara for the rest of your lives, I'll call you a liar. That's never going to happen. That's a silly thing to do. You tell me that you're going to sit there, you're going to learn for 6 hours a day, you're going to make sure that you have 6 hours of solid learning every day. That's not going to happen overnight. Halavai, it's not going to happen overnight. Make a commitment in something. Commit to something and say, here's what I'm going to do. Here's what I'm going to work on. and right there, and don't do something that's gonna make you upset or angry or sit there afterward and be like, I can't believe I did this. Work on something that you can actually build up on and eventually get it to the point where it becomes that your learning becomes so exciting to you, it is that taiva. Work on something that eventually will bring you to that point. Oh, it's a whole world of caramel donuts. It's a whole world, but I'm telling you, it is so easy. So easy. Once you start off knocking things down, right, just one by one by one, to eventually say to yourself, that's not the ikker, this is the ikker. Figuring out what's ikker and what's tuffel. Should be good, everybody. We'll stop that. And welcome back to me. How do you turn this thing off?